All right, you jerks, hurry up. It is winter solstice. I've got to get out of here, soak up those rays. Shortest Please. Day of the year, my friends.
Oh, Please. See, I thought you were going to say I'm going to go and take my clothes off and run around some iconic Queensland thing. Isn't that what you do in the solstice?
No.
Yeah, no, that's more the summer solstice.
Oh, like Age of Aquarius style.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, you know.
Still a nice thing to do. Today on the catch-up, we got Fat Man, which is what Paul Vorton also had some. Cameron Smith, which is nice too, and just some other origin greats like Wally Lewis.
Oh, we love catching up with them. But listen, we did go a little bit deeper with the Paul Pasali business. Oh. We found out that he has a brother called Charlie Pasali, which made me laugh my ass off.
Yeah, well, he's a councillor at the Ipswich City Council.
But he's got rhyming names.
You love that.
Enjoy the catch up. We'll see you soon.
Marto, Ed and Robin, Brisbane's second best way to drive to work. The best way is in a new car from Old Mac Mazda, Cleveland and Springwood. Their end of financial year sale finishes June 30.
How do you introduce this bloke? Do you say apprentice printer when he was young? Do you say Logan Brothers Jr.? Or do you say one of the greatest men to ever play Origin football? He's played more than anyone else. Why not? Cam Smith, good morning, mate.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Do you ever think what might have been with that printing career, Cam Smith?
Sometimes I do, Ed. Sometimes I do, mate. The footy career has panned out the way it has, mate.
More importantly, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling really good, yeah. Obviously, you know, only a few hours away from the game now, but we've had a really, really good week with our preparation. A few new faces in camp, obviously. But the boys are ready to go and keen to get into their second one and hopefully get a win and bring a decider back to Brisbane in a couple of weeks.
Hey, well, three of those new blokes are in the forwards. How has that been to slot them in? I know you play with Glasby, but Cohen Hess, he plays with Thursto. Have you had to put a lot of work into them?
Oh, not a lot of work, Marto, eh? Like, they got a little bit of experience. Obviously, Cohen Hess, he's only played about 20 games. But, you know, Jared Wallace, he was a part of the camp in game one. Knows what it's all about. Timmy Glasby, he's 28. He's been around the game for a long time and played in some big matches, played in the grand final. So those guys have been, they've come in quite seamless, actually. So trained really well, mate. The intensity of training has been great. I think you've seen a few days ago, JT, getting knocked about by the South Logan boys.
So,
we've been cracking the whips with training, but those three boys, they've slotted in nicely, and I'm pretty keen to see how they go, actually. I think they'll go really well tonight.
How important was Gordy mentioning the other night that Fifita doesn't play the ball properly?
Yeah, well, it's a trend I've seen coming to the game over the last 12 months, to be honest. Well, more so this season. The NRL, you know, the referees had a crackdown on it not so long ago about playing the ball properly with your foot, but that seems like that rule's gone out the window. And I think, you know, particularly as a dummy half, guys, you know, like if a guy playing the ball can play it as fast as he can without putting his foot on it, it makes a huge difference if he can play the ball. So I'm not too sure what's going to happen tonight, whether the referee's going to crack down or not, but if he gets away with it early, then I'll just be telling my boys to do the same thing.
Yeah, that's excellent. Now, Cam, I've got a request, mate. I've got a request. Yeah. I miss everyone, the best Queensland teams. We've always had one nutcase, you know, someone who was genuinely unhinged. You know, this goes back to the
very... Go through them. Is it Carl Webb? Is that who you're talking about?
Thank you, Carl Webb. Now, listen, Carl shaved the Q into the side of his head, and when he came out, I thought, oh, my God, this is going to... And it was. It was fantastic. Josh Papali is the perfect candidate. He's got a bit of a gut. He plays like a madman. Is there any chance, Cam Smith, that we could get the Q in the side of the head of Josh Papali?
Well, it's a possibility because he's running with a slight mohawk at the moment.
He is, yeah.
That'd just top the whole look right off.
Hey, Cam, what's today like for you? Like, what actually happens with you guys leading up to the game?
Obviously, a pretty quiet morning, and then we go for a team walk around 11 o'clock.
Love the team walk.
Just to get the boys out of the rooms and get moving and a bit of a stretch. It's fairly low-key, to be honest. A lot of the guys here have their wives and partners and children around, so try and keep things as normal as possible, as if you're at home playing a game. But once the afternoon comes around, after lunch, we go down, have a rest, sort of rest up for the game, and then a quick meeting, and then we're off. And hopefully we get a win.
So by how much, Cam?
Oh, 1 point will do, guys.
That's what I'm thinking. 1 point will do.
Is Josh kicking from both sides?
Yeah, of course he will.
What about you?
No, I'm a backup kicker. Didn't you see my striking game once?
Yeah, mate, I was behind the post watching.
Cam Smith, captain of Queensland. Good luck, Cam.
We're all
excited. Thanks, mate.
No worries. Thanks, guys.
The story of Paul Posaldi, the now former Ipswich mayor, gets more and more interesting as the day goes on. And joining us now, the man who's been following the story, Joel Dry from Channel 9 News. So, Joel, what has former Mayor Paul Posaldi been charged with so far?
Good morning, guys. Three charges were laid late last night. One of extortion and two assault charges that relate to an alleged incident with a 20-year-old female council worker. So they are the three charges. They've been laid as a result of a Triple C investigation. They moved yesterday. They picked up Mr. Posaldi in Brisbane. He was brought to the City Watch House where the charges were officially laid. The processing happened. A lot of us thought that he was going to be let out on Watch House bail. There was a big media contingent awaiting that. But then a second release was given by the Triple C to say that he'd actually been remanded in custody and that he will face a Brisbane Magistrates Court at some time today. So a night in the lockup for the former mayor of Ipswich.
What the heck happened, Joel? Like, just like 3 weeks ago, he was still the talk of the town and now he's in custody.
It's a very swift and brutal fall from grace. It was 2 weeks to the day yesterday that Mr. Posaldi called a snap press conference at the St. Andrews Hospital in Ipswich, dressed in a dressing gown, slippers and pyjamas, and said that he was standing down due to ill health. It then was very quickly revealed that the day before that, his house and his office had actually been raided by officers from the Triple C, and that was in relation to an incident at the Melbourne airport last month where he was pinched with $50,000 cash. So this story keeps developing, and it develops in a way that isn't very good for Mr. Posaldi.
What's going on? Are there people coming out of the woodwork, you reckon? Are they trying to put pressure on other people, the cops?
Well, there's for a long time been a lot of rumour and innuendo swirling around Mr. Posaldi, and as these things come to light, people perhaps feel more confident coming forward. We know that Rob Pine, an independent member of Queensland Parliament, just this last week actually
Friday.
Came out and using the parliamentary privilege, dumped a whole lot of dirt on Mr. Posaldi, which he can do. He can't suffer any ramifications because he did it in the House of Parliament.
What about his brother? Because Charlie Posaldi is also a councillor.
There's a Charlie Posaldi.
I think it's Charlie. Isn't it Charlie, Joel?
There is a Charlie Posaldi. He is a councillor. He spoke before Mr. Posaldi was arrested and basically said that his brother, Paul, was battling, and that was as a result of his health conditions. But we also know that after he stepped down as mayor, he checked himself into a private health facility, really battling mentally with all this stuff that was going on. I can't imagine this will help, and it obviously, does cast a bit of doubt on his legacy. It was pretty solid, a long legacy. He was very popular. He was Mr. Ipswich. He was at one time the most popular politician in Australia. You won't find too many people in Ipswich that speak poorly of him, but this certainly won't help.
Well, did Mr. Ipswich, is there any confirmation, did he have his jammies with him last night? Well,
we were all awaiting his release to the Watch House to see exactly what he was dressed in. We'll wait to see today. Could be the prison issue Browns, or perhaps he was in his own pyjamas. Mm.
Joel Dry from Channel 9 News telling us about the Paul Posaldi charges. We'll follow your reports on 9 News today. Thanks, Joel.
Good on you, guys.
Talking Maroon, State of Origin, only one noggin you want to get inside.
That's right, a bloke who was there in the first Origin, a bloke who captained Queensland more than anyone else, 38 times played Origin. He's the only sports newsreader to have a statue at Suncorp Stadium. Wally Lewis, good morning.
Good morning, how are you?
How do you go, mate? Are you down there yet?
No, mate, just on the way, so the way I look at it, the less time spent in enemy territory, the better.
You're nervous, Wally. I can hear.
Game is this one.
I can hear you're nervous.
Yeah, I am a little bit with this one. The way that that we sort of fell in game one created a little bit of drama, but Queensland certainly need to produce their best. And the suggestions are that the Queensland are a little bit too old to be able to perform to their best anymore. I guess only time will tell, but The one thing that you cannot buy is experience. And in State of Origin, we've got four of the best players in the experience department. So hopefully they're going to respond quite well and produce their best tonight when Queensland needs them.
Right, that's the old blokes. The young blokes, let's talk about the ones up front. Glasby, Hess and Wallace, all playing their first State of Origin. There's claims in the Daily Telegraph, the Sydney paper, they'll run out of steam after 15 minutes because they've never seen anything so fast. How do you get newbies to cope?
Look, you've just got to give them show full confidence in them. Let them know that that they're going to make it. I don't see being young as being a real drama. The lack of experience probably is in some certain ways, but you have a look at New South Wales, and they've got a relatively young side as well. They made sure that they picked it okay. As to whether these guys will make it on the night, well, I guess only time will tell, but have a look at some of the blokes that have played before. The one point that kept getting put to me by a few of the Sydney newspaper writers yesterday was they kept saying, oh, you can't expect a 20-year-old kid will make it in State of Origin football. And I said, look, I hate to be rude with it. I said, but I can remember playing at 20 years of age. There was another couple of kids in there that were 20 years of age in that performance as well. Mel Meninga and Chris Close and Kerry Bostead. They didn't do too bad.
They went okay.
That, age is not a problem for them.
Hey, well, what would you say to the team if you were going? Are you going to speak to the team before the game tonight at all? Actually, first question.
No, I'll just be cruising past them. We usually get a lot of the old Origin blokes drop into the dressing shed just before they start the pre-match.
Will you sidle up to someone? Will you sidle up to one of the debutants, maybe?
I'll just walk past them, pat them on the back. That's about it. Say whatever you like to them before in the build-up to the game. I don't think the players will remember a lot of it. They'll be concentrating on the job at hand.
Yeah, but Wally,
they'll be nervous.
Yeah. Well, one thing, though, you're used to being you. Like, you're Wally Lewis all day. It's still an event. Like, even when we know we're talking to you on the phone, Marto and I get a bit like, oh, Wally Lewis.
I'm teary about you. Yeah, you complete, Wally, don't overlook how
don't
important that is for them just to have one word from you in
That's
their
true.
Ear.
The message would be pretty short and simple. To say that all of Queensland have full confidence and you see it full time, mate. You're going to enjoy this.
You
feel pretty good about things.
Hey, well, can
you guys that need talking to a bit longer, you just drop an extra word or two, but. I think that they all get the message that we're all in this together. We're all Queenslanders. We're all mates. Wow. And win, lose, or draw, we're still going to be great mates at the end of it. So they have full inspiration to perform.
I'm fighting back the tears. Well, I made a claim earlier this morning that Fatty Vorton in the mid-'80s was the one who started the Queenslander call. He used to wander around a training. He was?
Yeah, he was, mate. Fatty and I used to have that sort of thing. He'd walk up and just shaky wobble his head side to side as he does, put the tongue in the side of the cheek and go, Queenslander. And that sort of dropped off a little bit. And then a couple of years later, Gary Belcher and Peter Jackson in particular, the late, great Peter Jackson, Jacko used to come in and he'd do the same head wobble and go, Queenslander. And then the guys just started to talk about bringing it into the game, making sure that if we're doing it tough at any time, somebody scream out Queenslander. And that was a way to inspire each other and to remind each other of the people that we represent. And we've always been very proud about that. And the people that have played for Queensland before, the people that have supported Queensland before, and the people that will be there, whether we win, lose or draw the match.
Good on you, Wally Lewis.
Everyone's saying that, it only matters for us to win by 1 point. But honestly, what do you think the scoreline will be? Do you think it'll be a high-scoring game?
I think it's going to be, about an average scoring game. 20-18, 18-16, something like that. There's too many of the world's best attacking players to expect that it's going to be a 6-4 or a 4-2.
Yeah.
these are the best players on display. So you've got to have the best defence in the history of the game to be able to not have those sort of points. But it's just a matter of making the most of the few opportunities that you're presented with during the game to be able to get it. We don't only have the world's best attacking players on display. The defensive patterns displayed by both of these teams will go up a notch. They'll make sure that it's very, very difficult to get through the opposition defensive line.
Keep them honest in the box too, Wal. Thanks, mate.
Please. You'll see Wally Lewis as part of the Channel 9 coverage, despite the fact they try and shout over him tonight. Wally, King Wally Lewis, always a pleasure, mate. Speak to you soon.
Thanks, guys.
Guys, right, the story of the American student who was arrested in North Korea and arrived back in a coma and has now died. Now, the president is going to respond to this today, but he's being urged by Republicans to say that that's it, North Korea. It's time. It's going to be on now. And joining us is Robert Penfold, the legendary Channel 9 US correspondent. Good morning, Robert. This seems like it's going to be a bit of a big deal.
Yes, it will be. And it's just such a sad story, too. You know, you just can't help but feel, obviously, for the family of this young fella, Otto Warmbier. You know, he was held over there really for 17 months there, and they had no contact with him whatsoever, had no idea that he was as ill as he was. It's just terrible to see him, not even a week ago, to be brought back on a stretcher. I think they were absolutely shocked at his condition. And sadly, yesterday he died.
Robert, so, what did he do to be detained in North Korea?
Well, this is the crazy thing, because you could just see what he did. They even released video of it. And all he did, he was over there with a school group, with a bunch of people there. And on the very last day, he decided to take just a souvenir. And they had video of him just going up to the wall and taking down a poster, would you believe? Just a poster off the wall. And that was enough, actually, to get... They grabbed him the next morning just as he was about to leave and of course, sentenced him to 15 years hard labour. It's just crazy, of course. But, you know, nobody, including the American government, could negotiate the deal to get him out. And it looks like the North Koreans just wanted to get rid of him when they realised he was about to die.
What happened to him? Do they have any idea? Was he beaten?
Yeah, hi, Robin. Well, they just didn't really have an idea really what's going on. Doctors in Cincinnati said that he had extensive loss of brain tissue, that he was in a state of unresponsive wakefulness. In other words, he was sort of in a coma, but awake, you know. It was just they said he was there and his eyes were staring forward, but they have no idea. According to the North Koreans, they were saying that he fell into a coma after he contracted botulism and then actually, of his own intention, took a sleeping pill. And the North Koreans say that's what knocked him out and he never came to. But the doctors here say that that makes no sense whatsoever. They don't believe that. So they're still trying to work out really what it was that, you know, was it killed this young sort of brilliant, engaging young man, as they called him.
Now, Rob, I heard you guys play on the news last night, a grab of Trump, this one.
It's a brutal regime and we'll be able to handle it.
What does that mean, repercussion-wise?
Well, it's hard to tell because, you know, North Koreans, everyone treads so carefully with this one. Keep in mind, of course, they're right next to South Korea. And one incident that if the United States was to go in and do something there, they would target South Korea straight away. It's a bit like firing over the border from the Gold Coast to the Tweed Heads almost. So it's just ridiculous to think that what could happen. So the Americans have to tread very carefully. It's obviously going to chill efforts to restart a dialogue with North Korea even further. But at the same time, I think everyone, including Trump, has been told to tread very carefully with this one because it could start a real incident. So no one's really too sure what to do. And the family, in the meantime, saying, really, we just want to remember our son as he was and leave it up to the authorities to see what they might do. But it's difficult to see if America can do anything other than make a serious complaint about this.
Just on another note, what's it like over there at the moment? Because all we ever see is sort of mass protests and people fighting online and getting annoyed at Trump the whole time. What's it like, the mood on the ground?
Well, there's a lot of anger out there as well. And I live in California, of course, and over here it's hard to find anybody who's got a good word to say about him. But obviously there are a lot of people out there because the guy won the election.
That's right.
As our friends say, don't bring up the subject at a dinner party because straight away you'll be surprised at how it ends up. So, yeah, it's a very divided nation at the moment. Not a great place to be in as far as the politics are concerned.
Wow. All right, Robert Penfold, Channel 9, a US correspondent. Speak to you soon.
Okay, guys, thanks very much.
What a treat on Origin Day to have the original number. Oh, hey, Fatty Vorton, what was the first number that you wore for Queensland? Six?
Number. No, that was Lewis.
That's right. I remember him.
No, number eight.
Number eight, that's right. Yeah. Oh, Fatty. Hey, we were talking about how Queensland...
Tell everyone that used to be Lock Ford.
That's it, yes.
Now, Fatty, we were talking about how Queensland needs one insane redhead. Every team, every good team we've ever had has had one insane redhead to get us across the line. We're worried that this year's team, who is the most ginger person in the team, Fatty?
Well, I think it's Dylan Nupper.
Yes, that's
what
we want.
And he's 6'5" and about 120 kilos, so, and he is insane.
Yeah, he's perfect, Fat. He's perfect.
Yeah, he's fantastic. I mean, I was 5'9", weighed 82 kilos, so he got a bit on me.
but
he goes good. He actually had a really good game in the first game. And
yes,
after
he did.
We call that a settler, and he'll be a lot better, I reckon, tonight.
Well, he was injured
after. I got a really good feeling about tonight.
Hey, tonight. Tim Glasby's got a bit of redhead too, I reckon.
There's a bit of ginger nut in there as well, yes.
Go through them, Fatty. If you're the king of the redheads that played rugby league, Brady Dallas is the only other genuine reddy, isn't
Brad
he?
Myers.
That's what I reckon.
Brad Myers.
Oh, Brad Myers as well. Yeah,
lovely.
The lanky second row. Yeah, he went good.
Now, Fatty. I'm interested in what you said, Fatty. You have a good feeling. Are you usually right about all this sort of stuff into games?
Oh, no. Never. You know what this team is tonight? It's the team they should have picked in game one.
Yeah, man.
You know, seriously. I mean, but I can't argue against them, you know, with picking some of the older guys and giving them one more go, because that's what Queensland have done in the past. It actually happened to me. I was captain for the first game in 1990, and I was playing awful at the Roosters. So I'd gone there and I wasn't enjoying my footy. I'd put on about 20 Ks. I was playing awful and they still picked me. And while he was out, he was out with dandruff for one game.
Yeah.
And so I actually got the gig and I was skipper. And I played okay. We only got beaten 8-0, but then I got the tap. And that was it, all over. And we did
the
same with Trevor Gilmister in 96. Yeah.
Oh.
That was the end for the fat, yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
The same happened to Gilly in 1996. He had a wonderful series in 95. We probably shouldn't have picked him in 96. He wasn't playing that well, playing in a dud team with the Crushers. Anyway, we did. That's just what Queenslanders do, but they don't.
Crushers destroyed another career.
How good were the Crushers?
Love the Crushers, Fat. We love the Crushers.
Bobby Lindner's coaching career started and ended right there.
Didn't it, though?
So, Fatty, does that mean that you're saying that's it for Sam Thaiday?
Yes, I think that's it. I think once they do the cut-off, I believe that's it.
Hey, Fatty, also, you've got a lunch that we want to talk about as well. This is the Aspirations for kidsinsport.com.au. What's happening with this lunch, mate?
Well, it's on the 5th of July. It's on a Wednesday. It's a week out from Origin 3, which I think will be the decider. And once Grant O'Hara, he contacted me and I agreed to come up. It's going to be a wonderful lunch because we've got Daryl Broman, the big man, and also the wonderful Tom Radonikis.
Isn't Tommy he giving you a bit of curry on the footy show lately?
Tommy F. Bomb Radonikis. he dropped one live last week at Mackay. Yeah, it was gold.
Oh, no.
It's a fantastic lunch. Three good guest speakers, and we'll have fun. And look, it's selling quite well, but we've got a 600-seat auditorium to go to. I think it's at the City Hall.
Yeah, okay, great. There we go.
So, City Hall. It's on the 5th of July. And,
awesome.
All the details are on the website, Aspirations for Kids.
Well, hang on,
it should be a fantastic day.
Let's see what Tommy thinks of it.
How f***ing good's that?
Thanks, Tommy. Hey, how do we stop for feeder, fat man?
Well, you know what? It doesn't happen a lot in the modern-day game of rugby league, but how about someone tackling me in the legs?
Whoa.
Hello?
Where'd you get that from?
Is that stupid to think that? No, it's the time in a team you wish you had a gilly in the side, you know, and players like him. Just hips slide down half a foot, bang, he's on the ground.
The host of the Footy Show, he's an Origin great, and it's always a pleasure. Speak to you soon, fat man.
Thank you very much, Triple M's.
I've never been a real protester in my life.
I would imagine that would be the case.
No, I've just let everything slide, etc. But I've been a bit worried over the last few years how protests have been going downhill since the golden days when Ed Cavalier used to do a lot of protesting.
Absolutely right. I used to stand up the front holding the banner. I didn't know what was on the banner because there was a girl who I was trying to get hold of that was heavy into the protest world.
Mm. So you'd protest anything if she was going to be there?
If I saw her at the rally, I would sidle up to her, chuck a whistle in my mouth and turn to her and go, isn't this disgusting, whatever this is?
I love that. Well, there was none of that yesterday. I just wanted to remind everyone that's what you were protesting. You never knew what he was protesting about.
No, he just did it.
It was about
it's good cardio. I did a lot of marching.
Did it work? Did you get her?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well done.
Yeah, it was great.
Let's not get down on that one. Hey, what do we want? Sex with that girl.
Exactly.
When do we want it? Now. Anyway, there wasn't any of that yesterday. Did you see that march?
The
CMFEU, the ETU, the AMD, all the builders' unions, the unions off big building sites, etc., shut them all down. This has been the sixth rally in the last 7 months. It's serious. I don't know what they're fighting about. the big builders, like the real big builders that you see doing high rises, they don't want union staff because it costs too much. The unions are going, well, you're ripping us all off. Came to a head. Now, I've been worried for ages about protests have dwindled out and they don't have the best, you know, great chance anymore and stuff like that. But yesterday's march and protest really got them right back into the game. First up, they had one of these.
In Brisbane, an inflatable rat was blown up to represent Hajkiss.
How do you get an inflatable rat?
Where the hell do you get a 6-metre-high inflatable rat? Like, if you can Google that. Like,
I will.
You can get a Colonel. You can get all those sort of things. A Ronald McDonald. But where do you get a rat? Anyway, so the bloke they're talking about there is Nigel Hajkiss. Now, he's the commissioner of the ABCC. He's the one they're going, well, what are they going? What's he doing wrong? Get a megaphone in
hand. The physical presence here today, you're sending a strong message also to you employers. Don't touch our f***ing agreements.
Oh, hello.
Nothing better than swearing through a megaphone in the middle of a major city.
Jeez.
All right, so they got the chant. Let's go through some of their chanting. They were right on the mark. They could have got through to round two of Australia's Got Talent.
Nigel.
Nigel. They're up this Nigel bloke. I didn't know who Nigel was. What's he done?
Nigel, something.
Oh, he's something. I had to beep it out. He's due and he's taking your
confidence. We deserve a future too.
Right. Okay. Right.
Are you happy with Nigel, you blokes?
Because he's a grub and that's a fact.
Is that Tommy Radonikis?
They made that a song. Oh, God. Righto, one more. Stand up, fight back.
Oh, they
were, honestly, they're like a brilliant, you want them supporting your footy team. They were better than the Roars, what do they call that mob down the end of the Roar game?
The Orange Army.
They were right up with them.
I found you a rat.
An inflatable rat.
Yeah, you can buy them online anywhere from US $100 to $430. And they come in all different fang sizes, ear sizes.
What type of website are you on? It's not adult, is it?
No, it's called, it's Alibaba, alibaba.com. You can get an inflatable rat.
Don't they sell kebabs?
I was going to say, what are you? I don't think I want that.
No. Standing their business. Scratch and smell.
You know how I do Between the Sheets once a week, where I give you very factual, scientific things about our sex lives and hopefully we all learn something. I know I did that yesterday, so probably a little premature to go again today, but love, honey.
We've had the words king and the fat and now premature in the last 12 seconds. Well played.
Okay, Love Honey, who are the leading online sex toy retailer, apparently, have revealed some interesting statistics about New South Wales and Queensland for State of Origin. Want me to share? I'll give you one of them.
Origin stats.
Yeah, origin stats to do with New South Wales and Queensland. So who do you think lasts longer, us or the New South Welshman? Over a 30-minute, can go longer than 30 minutes. Who wins that battle?
Are we physically talking a cane toad or a cockroach who takes longest to reach orgasm?
Pretty much. Okay.
Is that what we're talking about?
No, we're talking about New South Wales people versus Queensland people.
Oh, okay.
I have no idea about a cockroach.
All right, well, here's the question.
He's going to Google it, though.
Does cocaine help performance? Because if it does, then they win.
They win.
Yeah, they win because they're on a lot of chem. They're all having the chem.
Well, 24% of New South Welshmen apparently can go over 30 minutes, whereas only 18% of Queenslander can do it.
According to their dealers.
According to their statistics, yeah. And 72% of New South Welsh people can go longer than 15 minutes compared to 64% of Queenslanders.
With partners or without?
I don't know. I haven't got that statistic.
Love Honey. It's something you've got to clean up, isn't it?
Is that in a park? Like, is that in a park or a train station?
Okay, you are asking things that I cannot answer. I've just purely got the statistics.
No, like it, Robin.
The great news is that I have a number of them. So, you know, this time for the next 3 hours, let me share them.
What is the greatest lover in the history of New South Wales? A man who goes well past half hour. What does he think? Oh, you haven't got it.
What's that?
I thought I asked you.
How can God, Zach?
Absolutely.
Thank you, of course.
I'm so sorry. What if I told you that on game day, Origin Game 2, we've got Cameron Smith, Maroons captain?
I love him.
Yeah, that's what you'd say. That's all you've got to say.
What else do you want me to say?
What else is there to say?
How can God, Zach?
I'm worried about the song start.
You'll walk right into that one.
I've just had a thought. If there are 5,000 people moving to southeast Queensland every single week, which was a statistic that I saw not so long ago, that must mean there's a lot of people coming from down south, which means there'd be a lot of New South Welsh people here who potentially have Queensland children or Queensland partners.
Mm-hmm. Mixed marriages.
Yeah, mixed state of origin marriages. That would be a tough call.
I've run into two already, our audio guy and also one of our producers, both from Victoria, both asking me if it's okay to support Queensland. Come on board. I'm only too happy with that. But if you're from New South Wales, go right ahead. Keep supporting New South Wales.
Well,
I understand that.
I mean, it should be about your state of origin, I guess.
I loved watching them at the stadium on game one, Ed, when they'd walk up, husband and wife, like one would be New South Wales jersey, one would be a Queensland jersey, and go, what happens after the game?
Yeah, I know. Is there a code of silence regardless? Like, regardless of who wins, someone's going to be disappointed. So,
how do you deal with it? If you're in a mixed family, or a mixed relationship, New South Wales and Queensland. How are you going to be watching the game tonight? And what do you do?
Wonder if they have a bet.
There you go.
Because, you know, same thing happens in rugby. With a Kiwi wife or husband and an Australian partner. And for the last 17 years, and for New South Wales, it's been 10, just always losing the bet. But as of that first origin, they got their bet back.
How are you coping?
Sexual favours, you reckon?
Oh, that's a good question.
Not
what are you
part
doing?
Of the post-match celebration, people.
You owe me a
just
dot,
saying.
Dot, dot.
Are you in a mixed relationship, a mixed family, Queensland and New South Wales? How are you going to be watching the game tonight? And what's riding on it? Is there bets? Is there recriminations? What happens? What goes on in these places?
Do you know, by the time my younger son, who's now 12, when he was 10, he'd never seen Queensland lose in his entire life.
Yeah, it's like those kids,
very cool.
Like those kids out west that had never seen rain.
Yeah, that's it.
I love it.
Kane of Mitchelton, tell us about your mixed marriage.
How you going? Grew up in a mixed family with dad being in the military. We were born all around the place.
Yeah.
So there was four boys and three of us born in, or two in Victoria, one in Queensland and one in New South Wales.
What used to happen origin night? The Vics used to go for us?
Yeah, Queensland. Dad went for Queensland, so most of us jumped on the bandwagon apart from the one in New South Wales.
So did you used to have bets on it? Like, what happened if?
Yeah, we used to put the chores on the line. So Queensland won, it was a pretty easy week for us, but a poor week for Callan.
That's
love.
Chores is a good one. That's a good. Well played, Kane.
Thank you.
Chris is from Ipswich. Now, Chris, you're living in a mixed marriage, I understand.
Very much so.
What will happen tonight? What normally happens?
Well, I'm a New South Wales supporter. My wife's parochial Queenslander.
I like her.
Very much a maroon blood, with Alfie Langer being her cousin. When I first met her, and she said that you follow football, da 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 da. Yeah, and she said Alfie was. I'm like, oh, Jesus, no. So state of present time was
deal breaker.
Yeah, it's not the best, especially a couple of years ago when New South Wales actually won the series. I was ordered to bed. My wife was screaming at the TV, going off at Robbie Farah, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah. But generally, you're saying about what chores, et cetera, or what the bets are. I owe, put it this way, if it's a point a minute, I'm in big trouble.
All right.
Okay.
Point a minute. Okay. I want to dig deeper, but I'm worried about
don't
the time.
Understand. Yeah,
Chris, just tell me your lounge room tonight. Are you watching it at home? What does it look like?
Yeah, no, I'll be at home. It'll be decked out in maroon, and I'll have a little corner with a blue balloon and get maroon stuff thrown at me. So, yeah, it'll be
a little corner with his
the kids, Queenslanders, mate.
Yeah, four kids, Queensland, parochial Queensland too. So, yeah, I'm definitely odd one out.
You're on. Good on you, mate. You stay strong with your little boy.
You know what
blue.
I do?
That's great.
If you cheered for Alfie Langer, you're always a winner. He's there the whole time.
It's true, isn't it?
Jimmy.
G'day, mate. How you going?
You're from North East.
And Robin,
now,
how are you?
Hey, good, Jimmy.
Righto, what's the mixed marriage situation you've got?
Mate, there's no mixed marriage situation with us. We, like you were talking about before, we moved up from Canberra about 5 years ago.
Oh, welcome.
I've had, but my wife and I are both Blues supporters. Mm. And my two girls are born here, but my son was born in Canberra. And he's playing for Redcliffe Dolphins under sixes, and he's gone to prep this year. So can imagine, he's jumped ship and gone for the Maroons now. So we've had to go and buy him the jumper and the shirt, etc. So we've lost him to it.
He's lost him.
Mate. What's that?
You've lost him. You've lost him already.
You're talking about Queensland like it's Scientology. Yeah. That's fantastic. No, we've lost him.
The cops have taken him.
Have we got one more? Hey, Matt, what do you got?
Yeah, g'day, how are you?
Yeah,
are
you a New South Welshman?
Yeah, that's me, mate. Yeah, I'm a cockroach, proud cockroach, and the missus and kids are all Queenslanders. And, yeah, we generally do the bet for on top rights.
Okay.
On top, that'd be bunk beds, I guess he's talking about. Yes,
correct, I assume, from that there.
I just want to thank you for not asking any more.
Well,
okay, thank
you.
Well done, boys.
So if you win, are you on top or on bottom?
What?
Yeah, it's
I
hard
am
to
not
know.
Part. Yeah. No. Excuse me.
What's a win? What's a loss? Then?
I am not part of the post-match celebrations. That is not part of any sort of relationship.
I don't want you in the situation. I just
want
but
to you're expecting
Matt.
That you're expecting that that would be
Matt. Matt, I'm glad you're still there. Who wins? If you win, are you on top or on the bottom?
You're on top, mate.
Righto,
yeah,
you.
You're on top. All right, excellent work,
Marto, Ed, and Robbins, the new Triple M.